is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the Ghost Host, who is Sophia Temporelli, and weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She grew up with ghosts. As the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli, 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And everyone, prayers and thoughts of warmth and healing for the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli. She's got a cold for the past couple days, and so she's been up all night coughing. Her voice is a little hoarse, and, we'll see if we can check in with her, but, her voice is a little shot today. So I'm John Temporelli, co-author of Heaven, Can You Hear Me?, by the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And though it's rare, I'll be filling in for Sophia today. And she discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception. And again, I'll be filling in. I want to thank Rob Sarek, the site founder of Live Paranormal, for providing this format each and every week. And to all of our moderators, thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events over the years. And feel free to call in, too, for our guest, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. I won't be able to type too much during the show, but if you have questions for our guest, make sure they're all caps so I can check in. You'll probably hear me clicking. I'm usually the silent guy behind the scenes as an engineer, so you usually don't hear my little mouse clicks and that type of thing. But unfortunately, you will today. Today, we welcome back A&E's Ghost Hunters series, a key investigator and APRA Paranormal team founder, Brandon Elvis. Brandon, next Saturday, we'll be hosting at the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula here in California on February 29th, a paranormal exploration investigation event, along with Brandon's Ghost Hunters televised co-investigators, Daryl Martson, Rachel Stratton, Mustafa Gattalori, Kristen Lumen, and Brian Murray. everyone visit BrandonJElvis.com. That's BrandonJElvis.com for all of the Eventbrite event details. Also, to officialghosthunters.com, film.com, Twitter and Instagram, at Brandon Alvis, also at Ghost Hunters, at AETV, at Cemetery_Park, and YouTube search for Brandon's footage, too, and everything before the series, even, on YouTube search Brandon Alvis. And also upcoming, we have Squatch Files research team founder, author, John Kuykendall returns to the program. That's on the 7th. Also, Travel Channel's True Terror with Robert Englund series producers will be on the program on March 14th. Also, Memphis Ghost Investigations and Spirit Rescue team investigators on March 28th. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. And liveparanormal.com Facebook group page. Also, support the memberships here on Live Paranormal. And also support the vendors here on liveparanormal.com. Tonight, starting on Live Paranormal at 7 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Kindred Spirits. And also, too, Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more on this network. If you miss anything, the archive show will be available as a free MP4 iTunes downloads. And Sophia, we hope you get better. Congratulations on 8 years of broadcasting. We'll get you back on the air next week. And we're going to talk to Brandon, too, about his event coming up. And I want to, we can do that. We can summon here. We can get the late Peter James from Fox Sightings. He can be here and also help me out with this, too, as well. So
come through. Speak to me.
Well, Peter, thank you for coming in. You're going to have to co-host with me. I can always rely on you. I know Brandon was a big fan of your
John,
career, Peter. This is...
talk to me, John.
Well, thank you, Peter. I certainly need the help.
I'm here to help you.
Well, thank you, Peter. I know we certainly need that. So let's see here. Let's
come through. Speak to me.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you. Let's see. I'm unmuting right now. There we are, Brandon. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, John, thanks for having me on, man. It's been a while since we've spoken.
Well, yeah, and certainly, too, I mean, congratulations on the arrival of your boy. What's his name?
Oh, thanks. Appreciate that, man. His name's Lucius Alvis. He's named after, as you know, I'm a big history buff, so I named him after Lucius Barinus, who was one of the commanders under Julius Caesar. So I wanted to go with a strong name from the Roman Empire.
It certainly is. And congratulations on Ghost Hunters. I mean, this is a fantastic year for you, Brandon.
Yeah, it definitely has been, And, I've known you a long time, you and Sophia. I mean, geez, I've known you guys for years now. I mean, and just to think about everything that's changed, it's quite the feat, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, she's certainly one to extend her gratitude to you, too, for all the years. I know one time we met you aboard the Queen Mary, and she had pneumonia then. We had to get her to the hospital immediately following the Dawn Shy event.
Oh, man. Oh, geez. That's not good.
Yeah, that was that one event. But, yeah, this is just a cold and everything, but her voice is really shot. And but we really want to do this. We really want to really get behind your event coming up at the Glen Tavern Inn. Okay, so you're going to have – coming up an investigation, it's going to be a meet and greet. Tell us everything about the event, everyone that's going to be there attending.
Yeah, it's going to be a majority of the Ghost Hunters team, minus Grant Wilson, but we'll all be there, and it's going to be a really exclusive event. We actually have rented out the entire hotel, which is great. So it's going to be exclusive, all to us, no other guests. So we're going to have a really great investigation and really trying to control the environment there at the Glen Tavern. So if you get a VIP ticket, which many have so far, you get a hotel room included. You get a VIP meet and greet and cocktail hour with the team, and you get a full night of investigating. We also have a couple other tickets, general admission, where you get to go to the meet and greet as well as the investigation. So it's going to be a great night, but I'm just really happy that we were able to actually get the entire hotel to ourselves so we could really have a realistic investigation.
Yeah, I mean, how are you balancing ghost hunters on A&E, being a new father, hosting the upcoming Glen Tavern event, travel promotions, being on like this show promoting? How are you able to do all that right now?
It's not the easiest thing to do, but, you know, I really am lucky, very blessed, and I love the field, and I love what I do, so I make it work. But I'm very excited, not only because, you know, we're having this great event coming up here next weekend, next Saturday on the 29th, but we also just announced last Tuesday season 2 of Ghost Hunters, and we have some intense cases coming up for everybody. We have new, never-before-seen census scientific equipment used in the field and some amazing results that like unlike anything I've ever seen. And, you know, as you know, John, I've been doing this since 2006, 15 years, and this is unbelievable. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to have the platform like Ghost Hunters, you know, A&E, Pilgrim Media Group, and be able to go out there and really take everything I learned going back with APRA and working with Dr. Harry Klor and advancing that and being able to go to some of the most haunted places in the country and really go out there and test scientific theory and principle.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, how long you've been in the field. I know also when we met you, too, over 5 years ago at ConCon 11, I mean, you were like a resident at the Glen Tavern event. I mean, tell us about, you know, the tragic events, you know, in your life and in your personal life and your initial interest in founding APRA as a paranormal team. And how did your time at the Glen Tavern Inn enhance your resident research and your approach through the years?
Well, in 1995, I lost my oldest brother to cancer. And in 2004, I lost another brother to suicide. So that propelled me into my interest in the possible existence of a life after death. And before I ever set foot in the field, I wanted to do as much book research as possible, you know, just really look at all aspects of the paranormal field and see how I wanted to conduct my investigations. And early on, I started to see some of the common mistakes that were used in the field. So I wanted to kind of, you know, reach out to engineers, scientists, and medical doctors and really try and stay grounded and logical in my approach to investigating the paranormal. And I did that going back to 2006, and I met a man named Dr. Harry Klor through Matt Goldman, one of our lead investigators at APRA, and we started working extensively with Dr. Harry Klor, and we really started getting the scientific principle down and ideas that we took from the scientific field and through Dr. Klor and started implementing that into our paranormal research. But moving into the Glen Tavern Inn, which is something not a lot of people know, I actually lived there for about 3 years. And not only did I do that because I wanted to expand my research and actually live in a location that is not only reported to be haunted, but actually has activity. I mean, many investigators over the years, people I trust, have collected some significant data to associate that. And living there, that really kind of propelled me even further in the field and understanding kind of the formula of a haunting or the mechanics behind it and really taking those ideas, testing those theories, and now I'm here on Ghost Hunters, and I'm taking that to an even higher level.
And it's amazing as APRA is a paranormal team that you guys have been together so long. I, you know, not to get too much behind the scenes, but I've seen a lot of teams over the years in fight and a lot of things go on. But, I mean, it was probably a decade ago. You guys were on Science Channel on the Unexplained Mysteries. And, you know, tell us about that episode that you were on collectively.
Yeah, that was, you know, it was quite the experience, you know, because of our work and implementing the scientific method and scientific principle with Dr. Klor, which is something you don't really see in the paranormal field. You don't really see world-renowned scientists going out with a group of paranormal investigators and really working together. So when Science Channel found out about our work, they wanted to feature us on the show. And we did an episode called Shadow People, where we conducted an extensive investigation of the phenomena taking place at Preston Castle. And not only did we go in there and conduct a paranormal investigation, but we did a huge case study where we wanted to try and test if there really was a haunting at Preston Castle or was it people influencing other people, right? They're widely known for paranormal tours. A lot of people are in and out of that place. So Dr. Klor had a theory that humans, when they become frightened, can release a fear pheromone. And we were curious as to, is that fear pheromone being detected by the other people in the building? And is that what is causing the phenomena there? And it was a great experience. It was a lot of fun. I mean, being able to be on the Science Channel at all when it comes to paranormal investigation is massive, you know, and that really kind of set the tone for the rest of my investigations and the rest of going forward with paranormal research was the fact that we really were sticking to scientific principle, and I think we've done a really good job of that.
Right, right. And on Alcatraz, you've done investigations too as well in the northern part of California.
Absolutely, yeah. Alcatraz was a really cool experience. You know, being able to actually stay an entire night on Alcatraz was a lot of fun. And strange place, you know. Just being there and isolated in that sense where you're standing there on that rock and you're looking across and you can hear and see the city. I mean, you can see how the psychological effect would mess with people so much, those prisoners on that island, and you can see why that would create some kind of trauma.
Yeah, and, you know, over the years, I know, you know, we were talking about Peter James and that you know, you had a lot of work on the Queen.
Talk to me!
And, oh, yeah, there he is, Peter. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, you have a message for Brandon.
We're here with love and light for you.
Well, that's certainly, wow. Wow. He's here with love and light for you. But he was a big influence on your career, too, in the paranormal and your work aboard the Queen Mary. But you have that fantastic capture, too, in the dressing rooms that appear to be like Sarah or Jackie. Just a quick flash. Do you still have that footage on YouTube?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's still there, and it's been widely looked at and disputed. And as you know, many years people have tried to disprove that footage or look at that in a larger detail. And still to this day, no one can figure that one out. You know, and you've been in there many times, John. You know the area really well. It's pretty difficult for someone to maneuver throughout that changing stall area. But also, I mean, we've captured a couple of recordings of a voice that's very similar to what Peter got. And I've always been very interested in that, in the fact that going back to Peter's investigations there and his extensive research, that phenomena seems to still be taking place in some way. And I think that, Peter, really laid the groundwork for all that.
Yeah, he had a real distinctive voice. I know Gerald Reynolds and, you know, he recently passed away, but he used to assist on Pat Wheelock's tours aboard the ship. And he had a really incredible, like, he was the only one in the pool area at the time. And he got a really clear hello that sounded like Peter's. Like,
hello.
Peter had a real distinctive, just like that. Hello, you know, and it, you know, so there is, you know, a lot of people that do capture a lot of things like that aboard. Do you ever feel that maybe the Queen Mary will be a location explored on a future episode of Ghost Hunters?
You never know, you know, and nothing's out of the realm of possibility, but, you know, with this new season that we just, you know, we just wrapped up and it's about to start on April 8th at 8 p.m. with a 2-hour special. It's all about isolated locations. I mean, we have gone to virtually the ends of the earth to help people. I mean, there's people that have called us, and they have literally said to us, John, they have said, if you guys don't come out here, no one else is going to do it. And we, you know, went there, and we helped these people, and we sometimes put ourselves in dangerous situations to do so. And I'm just really excited for everybody to see this new season. But you never know what's in store for Ghost Hunters going forward, and you never know what kind of locations we'll visit.
Well, tell us what you can. I know you can't give too much away about the upcoming Ghost Hunters episode in an isolated region of Alaska. My wife, Shirley, you know, Shirley, she showed me your Facebook post. You guys were like huddled on this barge going through ice. Tell us what you can about that one coming up.
Well, that was a very intense investigation, not only the investigation, but I mean, just the travel alone. I mean, for Daryl Marston and Mustafa Gadolari, two of our investigators, it took them 16 hours just to get to the airport prior to us having to take a ferry that took another 4 hours. So you're in the middle of Alaska in the middle of winter, and the weather can change in the blink of an eye, and we witnessed that multiple times. And we went out there to a town where half the population leaves during the winter, and we really did our best and helped some people there that have been experiencing some actually pretty frightening things. So we went out there and collected some amazing data, came up with some amazing theories, and really helped the people that called us. And I think they were very satisfied in having us out there.
And backing up a moment too, I mean, just initially, walk us through the moment you were asked to join the Ghost Hunters series on A&E, or did A&E ask you, or producers? How did that all come about?
That's an interesting story within itself, but you know, having that contact with Cogram Media Group and as well as A&E, and going through that process and speaking with them over a couple months, and you know, meeting with them, it was quite the moment. You know, having them ask me to be a part of the show and come on and take all my years of research and implement that into this new version of Ghost Hunters, and I was just very excited at the fact that they really wanted me for who I am. They didn't ask me to come on the show and be someone else or anything like that. They really did their due diligence in looking into my past and knowing what my research has been since 2006. And that's exactly what they wanted me to do in coming into this show. And, you know, working with Grant Wilson and the rest of the team has been a pleasure. And I'm just very excited for everyone to see this new season, because 15 years of work, 15 years of research I've done in the field has really all come to a head, and you're going to see that in this new season. And I'm telling you right now, John, some of the evidence we collected is unlike anything that I've ever seen, and unlike anything I think the field's ever seen.
And you guys are amazing at debunking too together collectively. I mean, even in the first, you know, Schoolhouse episode, and you know, with the cobwebs and everything, I mean, you guys were great about breaking things apart and really, you know, putting the location staff and you know at the location, making everybody feel comfortable. You know, you didn't just leave them with what they had. You really tied things up for everyone.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest aspects of our research. You know, is not only do we go in and we want to start on Earth and try and disprove anything we possibly can, and not because we want to, you know, tell people they're not having these experiences. We're doing that to try and bring comfort and relieve some of those anxieties associated with these places. So when we go into a location and we start to provide them factual information and we start to talk about the fact that here's a natural explanation to something, that really helps. But that not only helps the client, but that also helps us in our investigation, because at the end of the day, if we capture something we can't explain, that's just giving it extra points.
You know, Grant, he was gracious enough to come on the show and speak with Sophia when he was promoting a Queen Mary tour in the past. And I could just tell the cohesiveness and just the unity you guys have as a team. What's it like? I mean, you've been watching, of course, Ghost Hunters over the years and everything, but there you are side by side working with Grant and, of course, you know, all the field investigators. I mean, what's it like for all you guys to be in that family?
Pretty surreal. And funny enough, John, I actually met Grant the first time on the Queen Mary. That's where I actually met him the first time. So it's kind of weird, you know, full circle kind of moment. You know what I mean? But working with Grant's been great. I mean, his 30 plus years of experience. I grew up watching Ghost Hunters and watching the way he conducted investigations and that methodology. That kind of, I mean, let's, you know, Ghost Hunters started it all. This is the show that really started the craze, if you will, you know, that really set the tone for the rest of the field. And being able to be there with Grant and work alongside him, and one of our first investigations, as everyone saw in the Pocatello High School episode, him and I went into an area and completely disproved a piece of apparition footage. So that was a really great moment for me to stand there and go, okay, I'm really in it now.
No, it's amazing. With all you guys together, is there anything behind the scenes that you guys all do as means of protection, or collectively, or do people do anything individually? Some people, you know, they incant St. Michael's prayer. And is there anything you guys do?
Well, everyone on the team has their kind of own belief systems and conducts themselves in their own way. But, you know, in my 15 years of doing this, I've always had my own personal belief system and my own sense of protection. But everyone has something different and something that they do within their own spare time and their own free time prior to investigating.
Right. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back with Brandon. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Again, I'm filling in for Sophia today. I'm Dad. I'm John Temporelli. And, we're going to be right back with Brandon. But, we're going to go back over the event, too, as well, with Brandon Elvis. Join Brandon next Saturday, February 29th at the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California for a paranormal exploration investigation event. And as you mentioned too, you know, Daryl, Rachel, Mustafa, Kristen, and Brian, they're all going to be there too at this event. You know, rather than extend the long link that is going to be included with the Eventbrite, simply visit BrandonJAlvis.com. That's BrandonJAlvis.com. You'll see the link for the Glen Tavern event and all the ticket info and details. And, of course, official GhostHunters.com, CemeteryParkFilm.com is Brandon's production, Twitter and Instagram at BrandonAlvis and at GhostHunters, and certainly, too, check out by search Brandon Alvis on YouTube. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We're hoping Sophia gets better. And for next week's show, too, as well, but we're going to be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it, you know. It's almost like we didn't leave break.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Again, filling in for Sophia, I'm Dad, John Temporelli. Sophia's got a little cold for the last couple days, and her voice is a little shot, so prayers out for Sophia that for a quick recovery on this. And I don't know if it's because of the recent rain we have and all the coldness, but feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. If you have any questions, I see Bob's in there right now. Make sure that they're all caps. Any questions you have for our guest today, feel free to call in too as well. 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. And Brandon's joining us about next Saturday's event coming up. It's going to be February 29th at the Glen Tavern Inn in Santa Paula, California here, a paranormal exploration and investigation event. And as Brandon mentioned too, everybody from the Ghost Adventures, minus Grant Wilson, I mean, from Ghost Hunters is going to be here at the event. Daryl, Rachel, Mustafa, Christian, and Brian. And all event details, BrandonJAlvis.com. That's BrandonJAlvis.com. I'm bringing Brandon into the studio right now. Brandon, thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Again, it's a pleasure talking with you.
Yeah, it's you've always been a great friend of the family, and it's been great seeing you over the years. And yeah, I mean, you know, you've watched Sophia grow up, and I feel like I've seen you just in a way just come full circle here too with being on Ghost Hunters. Just incredible. Now you have a son. I mean, it's just been a great, fantastic year again for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very surreal, and it's been a lot of fun, that's for sure.
Yeah, you've been to a lot of locations with rich and tragic events in history of hospitals, historic family homes, and other locations. Tell us about the most impacting personal account you encountered, or even if it was on a residential case.
Oh, man, that's always tough. You know, anytime I think about being, impacted in some way on a paranormal investigation, I always think back to a place in Hayward, California, actually in San Lorenzo, called the McConaughey Estate. And that's a location I investigated for a number of years. I think the first time I investigated that location was in 2009. And, man, that place was unlike anywhere I've investigated before. And it has a true phenomena taking place. And when you think about hauntings and you think about ghosts, there's always kind of a romanticism associated with that, in like the Victorian era and that whole thought process behind it. And this place, I would say, is probably the best example of a classic kind of haunting. And I investigated that place for many years. And with APRA, as John, we for many years did fundraisers for historical locations, and we raised a good amount of money for the McConaughey Estate to keep it operational and helping the Historical Society and maintaining that location. But it was when we started doing the public tours there, I started to see some pretty scary stuff going on. Multiple younger women around the same age walking into the house having the same experiences, not only having visions of an elderly man, but becoming physically ill. And actually some of them even to the point where they would vomit when they left the house. And seeing that phenomena, you start to think, is there some kind of natural explanation for it? And going back to the Science Channel stuff, talking about with Dr. Clore, we did the Preston Castle episode. We actually also filmed an episode that never aired at the McConaughey Estate. And we went as far as to not only test the building, test the wallpaper to see if there was some kind of poison associated with it, the original Victorian wallpaper. And there was a lot of poisons and different types of toxic elements used in those kind of constructions. But we also tested for natural infrasound to see if we can find some kind of cause for people feeling this way. And we were never able to find a reasoning behind it. So spooky place, a place I would love to get back to sometime and investigate. So if anyone's listening to this and is looking to investigate a location, I tell you the McConaughey Estate is a place you really got to check out.
Wow. And speaking of, Shirley, she texted me during the show. And, right by where you're having the Glen Tavern Inn event, and if you're expanding on the entire weekend from the event, there's Nordoff Cemetery close by. What type of things have you had happen there?
Oh, Nordoff's an interesting place. I live in Ventura. Yeah, I live in Ventura, California, and I'm not far from Ojai. And Ojai's an interesting place. I mean, a lot of people know of Sedona, Arizona, and a lot of people, believe that place has a very spiritual property to it. And a lot of people consider Ojai, California, the sister city of Sedona, which is really interesting. But some people say that the same ley lines that run through Sedona run through Ojai as well. But Nordoff Cemetery, a lot of times cemeteries aren't active or are not haunted. It's very rare that happens. But something about Nordoff is completely different and a really unique place. that I've actually collected some really great EVP and had some cool experiences out there. But yeah, if you are at the Glen Tavern Inn and you're in the Santa Paula area, short drive down into Ojai, check out Nordoff Cemetery. Beautiful historic place.
Yeah, we had an encounter there. Our Shirley's old Jeep, we took up there, the whole family up there for the event. And we were with OC Soul Searchers founder Eric Johnson and his teammate Mike Dumart. And there's that one that you know there with the abalone shells, and there's like a picture of a Native American man and all types of
yep.
things that are Native American around his tomb. They were doing a session there, and Shirley and Sophia were in the car. We'd been there a long part of the day. And then Eric asked, it was kind of a long session. He just said, is there any way you could show us a sign? I kind of looked over at the Jeep and I saw the brake lights flashing and all kinds of things going on with that. And I said, oh, it looks like, Sophia's getting antsy. Maybe we ought to call it a day. And maybe she's pumping on the brake pedal, sitting in the car playing. And so we come back to the car and everything's going crazy. And like the doors, the hatches are all locking and unlocking and the whole dashboard's lighting up and flickering and everything. And so we think, well, maybe that was our sign. So we get in and right away his ovulus, Eric's ovulus said, ready. And we're thinking somebody's going with us. That was crazy. That was at Nordoff. But, yeah, let's take a call here, too, for you, Brandon. And let's see, Peter. Talk to me. Oh, thank you, Peter. We have an 804 area code. I'm unmuting now. Hi, 804. What's your name?
Hi, I was just listening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia. I wanted to see if you investigate synchronicities. I have some very powerful ones through the different timelines and quantum entanglements with a lot of people, too.
You have anything like that, Brandon?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. Whenever you investigate the paranormal, you have to look at the patterns, right? And you want to be looking at the synchronicity because there could be very well be a message associated with that. And many times investigators will go into a location and there's a clear message right in front of them, and sometimes through synchronicity in that way, that has just been completely ignored and could be a major piece of the puzzle. So I think it's something you definitely can't ignore and have to look into.
If you don't mind, I'd love to share my name so you can see, and I'll give you a big one. I read a couple of books back in the early 1980s that were helpful to me in exposing someone by a front page Wall Street Journal article for fraud. It was involved with the government, and that triggered an investigation all done on facts that eventually led to the resignation of the Speaker of the House in shame, Jim Wright. And one of the books I had read was written by Harry Rositsky. It was titled The KGB, The Eyes of Russia. And I spoke with him after reading his book and lost track of him over the years. And 2008, something triggered me to see if he was still alive. I found his obituary, and four synchronicities jumped right out at me. His name was Harry. My father's name was Harry. His wife's name was Barbara Helen. My mother-in-law's name was Helen. His daughter's name was Ann Elizabeth Hunt. My wife's name was Ann Elizabeth. My mother's maiden name was Hunt. Now, four synchronicities and a little obituary is pretty bizarre, but you tie that into high-level CIA, that's off the charts, and I have a bunch of those.
That's fantastic. When you see those signs, you can't ignore it, that's for sure.
Yeah, if I could share my name, I don't do email or texting myself. I stay in a very creative mode, but there's a lot that you might find interesting, and if the host can give you my number, I'd be happy to answer questions because I'm bringing in whole new paradigms to transform global economics, education, politics, religion, and more to get out of the corruption that we've been in since the beginning. And in my work, I'm also looking to empower women indigenous people.
Hugh, what's your last name?
Charlson. It's spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S like Sam, E like Edward, N like Nancy.
Okay, yeah, we can, certainly look you up by author search. But yeah, I know aboard the Queen Mary, we were with Bob Davis of Planet Paranormal, and he was getting EVP that were about questions that he hadn't even asked yet, that he had a list of things that he was going to ask. And then, you know, he was getting replies that were like 2 to 5 minutes before he'd even asked those questions.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that's a common phenomenon. You think about, you know, like there's been times I've ran into in the past where you, it's very similar to that. You know, you're starting to receive EVP and it's in response to a question that really hasn't been asked yet. So that's always been an interesting phenomenon to me.
Yeah, and Hugh, thank you for the call. Brandon, in the past, you were quoted in an MTV News article regarding the ghost that, you know, is stalking former Disney star Demi Lovato in her personally documented Texas home. You mentioned that Emily, the entity, might be following her on tours. So with that in mind, are ghosts able to follow you home? And if so, have you had any follow-up on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've not only have I been followed home, I've documented that. And that's something that I always, are you able to bring, you know, an entity home with you? Can they follow you? You know, and it was back in, I think, 2007, I was investigating the Heritage Junction Park in Santa Clarita, California, you know, not too far from here. And we were extensively investigating a place called the Newhall Ranch House for a number of years. And we kept collecting EVP associated with a man that sounded like he was just in tremendous pain, just kind of moaning out, sounding like he had was completely out of breath and just in anguish. And we recorded that a number of times in the Newhall Ranch House. And I left the Newhall Ranch House, got to my apartment. I was living in Bakersfield at the time, walked into my door, and instantly the closet door in my living room opened up by itself. I mean, just completely unlatched and swung open. And instantly I knew something wasn't right, obviously. So I hit record on my digital audio recorder, which was right with me because I was walking in with my equipment. And I set that down on my staircase, walked up my stairs, and came back down, played that recording back. I recorded for about 2 minutes. And I collected the exact same voice that I recorded in the Newhall Ranch House to the T. Not only that, we did spectrum analysis, we did waveform analysis, and really were able to pinpoint that this was the same voice that we were recording at the Newhall Ranch House. So I think it's very possible, especially with that MTV News interview I did a number of years ago about Demi Lovato. They talked about how she kind of dabbled within the paranormal and she would conduct seances and stuff like that. And I think, you know, sometimes you kind of bite off more than you can chew. Not that, you know, people can do seances and you know, dabble in the spiritual world in their own way. That's up to them. That's their own discretion. But sometimes it goes a little deeper than people realize.
Right. Well, it's interesting. When you were mentioning that one case, Bob, again, with Planet Paranormal, he had like 7 parts of his crew, and they were all at different locations. He said one was like they got access to a person's estate. They had one part of the crew were on the yacht, and there was another location. I think it was a second home of this person, and they all got the same man's voice on EVP that a family member recognized and detailed. Yeah, that's his voice at all 3 locations at once. They all split up, and they were all had access to just one day at these locations, and the same voice at all 3 locations. So that's incredible.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, what advice would you give families that might be plagued with home haunting problems or kids with psychic ability issues?
Well, that's always tough. You know, I mean, we did a number of, you know, homeowner cases in this first season of Ghost Hunters, and just being with Grant Wilson and be able to see like the way he conducted those homeowner cases, which he's done for 30 plus years, was really great. And you always have to empower those families. You know what I mean? You have to empower them within not only their own belief, but to let them know a majority of the time, it's not going to be anything negative. It's not going to be anything that's really scary. Those things do exist. It does happen, but it's a rare case. But again, I would suggest if there's people out there that are experiencing any type of paranormal phenomena and they are frightened by it, prior to calling in a paranormal team, make sure you vet those people. Make sure you're really inviting the right team, the right people into your home, because they could either really help you or they can make matters worse. So if you're going to be trying to get in a team to help you with any of these experiences or paranormal phenomena, just make sure you're vetting these people and always, you know, trust your own judgment, trust your own belief system, and always know that you have more power than entities that are in your home or trying to scare you. You always have more power. You have the light. You have flesh. You are flesh and bone. You are a person, and that can go a long way.
Yeah, and it's like Peter James said, just being direct and firm, not being plastic on the inside, because they can feel that. Something that just feels empowered, if there's a character in a movie or a time you run a mosh pit or something, just that feeling inside and being direct and outward towards them. Lovely Doves in the chat room just jumped in, and Bob's in there. If anybody has any questions with the late edition of the show, just make sure you make them all caps in the chat room. How do you feel about provoking or ghost baiting on investigations?
I do not recommend it. I think it's honestly disrespectful. You know, if you're investigating a location and we're thinking about this from the theory that these are people, right? These entities are people that were once alive and frequented these areas. Going in and disrespecting them and taunting them is not the way to go about it. I think respect and going in and just telling them why you're there, what your intentions are, you're going to get a lot more out of it than taunting and disrespecting, which a lot of investigators out there do that. You know, there's a majority of shows out there that do that, and I think it sets a bad precedent.
Right. Yeah, certainly. And I know that's knowing you over the years and, you know, just our family watching you and as detailed and gracious as you are, I know that's been an approach, and certainly that generates more communication. I know that's how Peter was with Jackie. It takes that person to really, it's not eliciting activity, but that graciousness really brings about, you know, a true person that you're trying to communicate with.
Exactly. You know, and just like simply thinking about it from a standpoint of almost trying to connect to their humanity. You know, if we are dealing with a consciousness after death, if this is energy from a person that did retain consciousness, you want to try and connect to that humanity. You don't want to yell at them and demean them and make them feel lesser. You know, you want to try and connect to them on that basic human level. And I think that goes a long way and really helps an investigation.
Well, it's like Peter said, too, that like some of these people could be sitting on their couch and just a nice person, and you just came in and they're territorial because you've invaded their space, sat on them. And now you see people that are like this, you know, get out, you MF-er, and that kind of thing. So, you know, they don't necessarily know what they're dealing with. So treat everybody the same way. Who are key individuals, parapsychologists, authors, in the field, old or new today, paranormal teams, who are some key figures that you've looked up to over the years?
Oh, man, that's such a wide range. I mean, I've always been a ghost geek, and I've always been a guy that's just, you know, really threw myself into book research. So, I mean, Hazel M. Dennings is someone that I really looked up to. She's got a PhD. She wrote a really great book called True Hauntings. Amazing research. Emily Peach, who wrote a book going back in the 70s called Things That Go Bump in the Night, very detailed and orchestrated investigations. Those two are really great researchers I've always looked up to. I've always loved John Zappas. John's a great guy. Met him multiple times, and he's always been someone that is active in the field and always there for people. So it's been great, you know, but I even went back as far as to looking into like 1895 and the London Ghost Club and looking into those type of things. So I've always been such a ghost geek, and there's been so many influences on my investigative style. But again, one person I always have to give it to is Dr. Harry Clore. He's not a paranormal researcher. He's a scientist, and he's the only person in history to receive two PhDs simultaneously, but he has been such a huge influential figure on my life and my investigating that it's really helped me and really kept me grounded and, you know, really kept me going over the years.
Yeah, he's been with you a long time. And I mean, that cohesiveness that you have with APRA over the years, I mean, it's just, you know, it's incredible to see you guys all together. That I'm seeing here Lady Dove, and thank you for making them all caps. She has a question here. Let's see, been more than a decade, but I'll never forget the day of my brother's memorial service. I was flipping through one of his photo albums And I must have heard the most hideous voice say my name slow and loud right behind me. It scared the holy smokes out of me. So not so much a question, but there's things that you're saying. I know, you know, losing both of your brothers that, you know, sort of resonates. And I can see that's come through in her writing, too, as well. Out of any place in the world, sort of a bucket list, you know, final question here, any place in the world, I know there's been now with the, you know, the coronavirus, if you had Banda Aceh with the tsunami, you have Fukushima with the, you know, maybe that elicits some type of a, you know, with all of the, you know, the nuclear energy around the area, like Chernobyl, they get a lot of great captures. Is there a place anywhere in the world that you feel that would be like a bucket list location to investigate?
Well, absolutely. You know, I always go to Tower of London. You know, and I think the Tower of London would be such a significant place for paranormal research. Not only they've already had, I mean, security cameras, CCTV footage of stuff in the Tower of London, but I think that the history associated with that place, it's a place built on blood. And I think that's going to bring a lot of energy. I think it's going to bring a lot of activity. So I think the Tower of London is probably number one on my list. And if I'm ever able to get into that place, I'm going to be a kid at Disneyland. That's no joke.
Right. And certainly any websites, upcoming events, announcements, of course, the Glen Tavern Inn event here in Santa Paula, California next Saturday. Anything you'd like to promote along the way? Any other broadcast?
You know, the big thing coming up is April 8th on A&E TV. We're going to be premiering season 2. And it's going to start with a 2-hour premiere at 8 p.m. on A&E. And I'm telling everybody, you know, I've been in the field for 15 years. I've been a big fan of the genre. I've watched a lot of the shows. I've worked with a lot of paranormal investigators over the years. But what you're about to see in season 2 of Ghost Hunters is not the original Ghost Hunters. It's a completely new show. It's a completely new animal. And you're going to see not only some of the best scientific equipment that you've never seen, never implemented in the field, but you're going to see some of the best results you've ever seen. And I have to just guarantee that. And I'm really excited to see everyone's take on it. And I'm excited that we're, you know, we have the capability of trying to move this field forward. And I hope everyone enjoys it. So April 8th, 8 p.m., 2-hour premiere on A&E.
Well, congratulations. I mean, you have a lot of great things over the last year. You know, say hi to your son for us. My God, you know, Ghost Hunters getting a season 2 and just going forward from there. Congratulations, Brandon.
Thanks, John. I really appreciate you having me on, man. I hope I see you guys soon.
Well, Sophia sends her best, and yeah, we hope to see you again soon. And also, too, again, the Glen Tavern Inn event next Saturday. And if we can we have you back? Sophia really wanted to talk to you and everything, and we were going to film it and everything, too. But I mean, yeah, she just, you know, she's sending her best, and we're hoping she feels better. But can we do that sometime in the near future?
Absolutely, anytime. I'd love to.
Wow. Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, John. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right, definitely. Thanks. And again, Brandon Elvis, Ghost Hunters, I mean, new dad, and, of course, the Glen Tavern Inn event coming up next Saturday, the 29th, in Santa Paula, California, a paranormal exploration investigation event. And as you mentioned, along with Daryl, Rachel, Mustafa, Kristen and Brian, everyone visit BrandonJElvis.com. That's BrandonJElvis.com, OfficialGhostHunters.com, CemeteryParkFilm.com, Twitter and Instagram, at Brandon Elvis, at Ghost Hunters, at AETV, at Cemetery_Park, and YouTube search Brandon Elvis. If you miss anything, archive shows will be available as free MP4 iTunes downloads immediately following the show. I want to thank Hugh for coming on. Any links for Hugh? And I didn't get to jot down his last name, but for his books too as well, you can play back the show. And for his parts, you can toggle forward with the MP4 player. And I want to thank Lovely Dove and Bob. They're in the chat room now, and she's continuing to chat. Thank you guys so much. And as mentioned, coming up, we have Squatch Files research team founder and author John Kuykendall returning to the program on March 7th. Travel Channel's True Terror with Robert Englund series producers will be on the program March 14th. Memphis Ghost Investigations and Spirit Rescue team investigators on March 28th. And we have a lot of great guests booking their times to come on the show as we speak, and so I'll be securing those in the next few days. So, like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Thank you all for coming in. She'll be right back with the show as soon as she feels better, and I'll get back to my engineering duties. But thank you guys so much. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie from Sion Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.